I'm going to break a myth today. Yes, I know, another one. We often think of trust as symmetrical and reciprocal. If you trust me, then I must trust you. And if I trust you, then you must trust me, right? But reality couldn't be further than that, and it's important that we understand that. One of my 8 laws of trust, trust law number 4, states that trust is asymmetrical. In this episode, I will discuss the asymmetry of trust, I will explain why trust is asymmetrical, and at the end, I will show you some of the implications of that asymmetry, especially if you are trying to build trust within a team. And I'll do that right after this. Welcome to The Trust Show. I'm Yoram Solomon, your host, the author of The Book of Trust, and facilitator of the Trust Habits Workshop. My mission is simple. I want to help you form habits that build your trustworthiness, because the answer to this question will have the biggest impact on your personal and professional success or failure. Can I trust you? This is actually not going to be a very long episode, but it's still a very important perception that we need to address here. And I'm going to start with talking about the 8th law of trust, and that's that trust is a two-person game. So the trust that person A has in person B does not only depend on person B's trustworthiness. It actually depends, the trust that person A has in person B is the product of person A's trustfulness multiplied by person B's trustworthiness. So it's really not important for one person to be trustworthy for another person to trust them. The other person has to be willing to trust in general. So that willingness to trust is really important. So what makes person A trust person B? Trust person A's trustfulness and person B's trustworthiness. What makes person B trust person A, if we're thinking that this should be symmetrical or reciprocal? Person B will trust person A based on person B's trustfulness and person A's trustworthiness. You notice that for these two directions of trust, from A to B and from B to A, there are 4 completely different variables. You know, person A's trustfulness is not the same as person B's trustfulness. Our trustfulness is the product of our, it's the sum of our experiences, or the product of the sum of our experiences. Our trustworthiness depends on ourselves. And you know, in personality compatibility, because trust is relative. So we have 4 different variables that determine the trust that A has in B and the trust that B has in A, and they are different. Because of that, the trust that person A has in person B does not equal the trust that person B has in person A. So if you trust me, that does not mean that I'm going to trust you. You know, I'll give you an example. Every time I go on stage and I stand in front of the audience, right? And I ask the audience, one of the things that I do during my workshops is I ask the audience, members of the audience, if they're willing to lend me $20. Each and every one of them lend me $20. And I ask them, how many of you are willing to do that? Well, typically, a lot of people raise their hands, if not all of them. And I typically joke when I see all hands go up that half the people are willing to lend me $20. The other half just doesn't want the first half to know that that they're not willing to lend me $20, because it makes them look good, bad. But that's not the point. The point is that the audience, when I go on stage, they already know things about me. Remember, my trustworthiness is made of who I am and what I do. And even before I go on stage, they already know more things about me than I know about them individually. I mean, I may know things about them as a group, but not individually. But they know things about me individually. They read things about me during the introduction. They already heard that I wrote so many books and that I did this and I did that. Plus, trust is transferable, trust law number 5. So they already trust the organization that brought me to deliver the keynote address to them. So they have a level of trust in me from the moment, even before I got on stage. Now, I am on stage and I've been talking for the last 5-10 minutes and they can relate to what I say. And now we're getting into the what I do during the interaction with them, which is I deliver certain things that make them trust me more. But I still don't know anything about each and every one of them individually. So while they are willing to lend me $20 because I reached a certain threshold that allows them to do that, if any one of them came to me and asked me for $20, it's a completely different set of considerations. I don't trust them because I don't know them as much as they know me. They haven't interacted with me. Nobody ever told me that I can trust them, like the meeting organizers told them that they can trust me by listening to me and spending time with me. So it is not symmetrical. Trust is not symmetrical. The fact that one person trusts another person doesn't mean that the other person should trust the first person. Okay? I'm going to go into that. I'm going to explain why sometimes it's asymmetrical for another reason. And that's personality compatibility. Let's talk about personality compatibility. That's the one of the components of the who you are before an interaction even starts, one of the components of my relative trust model. So, you know, one of the examples that I give again in my workshops, in my keynotes, is I ask if you want to be trusted by everyone. And you may want to be trusted by everyone, but you're also realistic. You know that you're not going to be trusted by everyone. And, you know, there are some components of personality compatibility that are absolute and universal, like telling the truth, for example. But there are components that are not absolute and universal, that do not have an absolute good or an absolute bad. Take procrastination, for example. Do procrastinators trust non-procrastinators? Well, typically they do. But does that mean that non-procrastinators should trust procrastinators? Well, they typically don't. And the reason they don't is because procrastinators drive them crazy. They get too close to the deadline. The non-procrastinators, when there is a dependency on a procrastinator, they feel stressed. They don't believe the procrastinator would actually finish on time. Maybe they'll finish on time, but they won't do a good job at it. There are many reasons why a non-procrastinator will not trust a procrastinator. And it's asymmetrical. Same with risk-taking. Some people are risk-takers. Some people are risk-averse. Which one is good? Well, they're both good and they're both bad equally. There is no absolute good or bad here. I'm a risk-taker. Someone who is risk-averse will not trust me because they consider me to be reckless and irresponsible and taking risks that we shouldn't, and simply because my risk tolerance level is different than theirs. And maybe the level of trust that I have in myself or in other people or in God or anything else is higher than theirs. And for that reason, I feel comfortable enough with a certain level of risk that they don't. So does the fact that I trust them mean that they have to trust me? No. Now, some people like to be on time, some people don't. Is there a good or a bad here? I think that here there are going to be probably more people that say being on time, showing up on time is good versus being late is bad. But not everybody's like that. So why is that? It happens because we're all different. We're different in our DNA. We're different in where we were born, in how we grew up, in where we grew up, in where we live, where we work, where we went to school. Our environment, our cultures, we're different in all of that. And because of that, the same behavior that would cause one person to trust another could cause another person to distrust another. Okay, let me say this again. The same behavior that would cause one person to trust me could cause another person to distrust me. So there is no this behavior is trusted and trustworthy by everyone. And if we're different and we're personally incompatible, or at least from one person's perspective, and again, I showed that with procrastination, with risk taking, with being on time, with, you know, some people are perfectionists. They will never let go of something until it's perfect. Some people are just, you know, the 80-20 rule. Let's get it out there and see how it works so we can fix it after the fact. Those two types of people don't get along either. So this is another reason. The fact that we're different, we're different in things that are not necessarily good or bad would cause that same asymmetry, which means that if you trust me, it doesn't mean that I have to trust you or that I trust you. And if I trust you, it doesn't mean that you have to trust me. But there is a caveat to that. So far I told you that the fact that I trust you has absolutely no impact on you trusting me. It's not exactly right. I mean, it's not completely right. As we start working together, we start building a cycle, and it is kind of a reciprocal cycle. So I'm going to give you an example. I'm your boss, you're my employee, and I give you autonomy because I trust you. You don't trust me yet. You're going to be really afraid of making mistakes. You're going to be afraid of trying things and failing because you don't know how I'm going to react. So you don't trust me. But I do trust you, and I give you autonomy. And then you fail in something because every now and then we all fail. And when you fail, you come to me and you don't trust me, so you don't know how I'm going to behave, and you're scared and you're afraid of delivering bad news, and eventually you know that there's no way around it, so you will deliver bad news, and I'm going to go, instead of you expect me to say, never do that again, or next time ask permission first, instead I say, okay, so that didn't work. Do you have a plan on how you continue? And so what did you learn? Is there anything you want to share with others so that others will not make the same mistake? But bottom line is you realize that wasn't the end of the world. You failing in something that maybe you didn't ask permission for, maybe you didn't expect that you have this autonomy from me, and now you know that you do. Now you know that you didn't have to ask permission. Now you know that I'm actually proud of you for trying. And I'm proud for the intention, and I'm proud for the work that you put into it, and for the fact that you learn from it. And you go, that's interesting. And so because I trust you, you don't trust me because I trust you. But because I trust you and I give you autonomy, which in my research I found a 67% correlation. So if I trust you more, there's 67% higher likelihood that I'm going to give you autonomy. So because I trust you, I give you more autonomy. Because I give you more autonomy, you trust me. And because of that, in the future, you will feel more comfortable trying new things, failing, delivering bad news. So it's indirect, the fact that I trust you, that would cause you to trust me. It's not that the fact that I trust you causes you to trust me. It's the fact that I trust you, and therefore I do something like giving you autonomy, that will over time cause you to trust me. There isn't, it's not one-to-one, it's not a 100% correlation, but there is some impact. It's not completely detached. Let me try another example. You're my boss, I'm your employee, and because I trust you, I am trying things. I'm demonstrating accountability. You may not trust me initially, but when you see that because I trust you, I act with accountability as opposed to with CYA, because of that, you are starting to trust me. So once again, it's not because I, as your employee, trust you as my boss, that you as my boss will trust me as your employee. That's not the direct relationship. It's because I trust you as my boss, and I demonstrate it by being accountable to what I do, by trying things, that it will cause you to trust me. Another example, I talked about boss versus employee, vertical relationship. How about horizontal relationship? If I trust you, you're my peer, and I'm willing to be, and it's not necessarily limited to the workplace. I mean, if I trust you and I'm willing to be vulnerable with you, which I found is 240%, my willingness to be vulnerable is 240% higher if I trust you than if I don't. If I'm willing to be vulnerable with you, you take that vulnerability and say, and think for yourself, this is someone I can trust. So I trust you. I'm willing to be vulnerable. Because I'm vulnerable with you, you trust me. Again, this is not 100%. This is not same level of trust. There's still a lot of other factors, but this is how it's not completely detached. Two more examples and I'm done. One is, if I trust you and therefore I'm giving you real feedback, I'm willing to give you real feedback because I'm not afraid of your reaction to getting real feedback. And I'm going to give you the feedback that you need to hear rather than the feedback I think you want to hear. Because of that, because of my willingness to give you that real feedback, because you realize that I do that because I really want to help you, that you would trust me. So I trust you. I give you real feedback. As a result, I give you real feedback. As a result, you're trusting me. And the last one, let's say you're trusting me and therefore you're receptive to my feedback, and your receptivity makes me trust you more and therefore be willing to give you the real feedback that you need, and so on. The cycle keeps going. So what you see is, again, the fact that one person trusts another person is not enough for the other person to trust the first person, okay? Because our trust in one another depends on our own trustfulness and the other person's trustworthiness. And for a two-way relationship, there are four of those variables, and they're all independent. However, the actions that result from one person trusting another person could cause the other person to trust the first person. So what are the implications of this? You know, when we talk about teams, for example, we talk about the level of trust in the team. And the first thing that I'm going to say is there is the thing that's called the bad apple phenomena. And that's the one person that cannot be trusted and therefore limits the entire level of trust in the team. So let's say that, you know, there's a team of the three of us. We've all worked together for a very long time. We all trust each other. We've established a high level of trust. Then a fourth person is added to the team. And we don't trust that fourth person. Maybe there is no reason other than we haven't spent enough time with them. But because of that, the level of, let's say, vulnerability that depends on the level of trust, our level of vulnerability, the three of us, goes down until we can trust that other person when that other person is here. But here is an important thing. No matter what, between every two people, there are two independent levels of trust. Just as I said before, you know, it's asymmetrical. It's not reciprocal. So it's person A trusts person B to a certain level. Person B trusts person A to another level. Because of that, if you have a team of four people, there are 4 times 3 independent relationships, trusting relationships. So for every person, there is an independent trusting relationship in one direction in the other person. And therefore, there are two independent relationships in both of them. That means that even for a small team of four people, you have 12 independent relationships, 4 times 3. That's a lot of relationships to work on. And now I'm taking the perspective of you, whether you're an HR manager, a leader, or anybody who takes the responsibility of building trust within that team, there are a lot of relationships to work on. Because they're not symmetrical, because they're not universal and they're not absolute. So the first implication is that you must prioritize. If you're going to be working on improving trust within a team, you have to do that one relationship at a time. And it's not the relationship between A and B, because there are two relationships there, between A and A trusting B and B trusting A. Two independent relationships. So how do you prioritize? First of all, high dependency, low trust. So you assess, where are the dependencies, or I should say, rate the dependencies, or even rank the dependencies from the highest, the most important dependency for the successful operation of the team to the lowest one that essentially we don't care, maybe. So you rate them and you start working on the ones that have high dependency. But that's not enough, because if person C has a high dependency in person F, the question is that dependency associated with a high level of trust? Because if it's associated with a high level of trust, that's another relationship you don't need to work on. So you need to work on relationships where you have high dependency of one person in another and a low level of trust of the first person on the other. You don't care about the other direction. If person A depends on person B for the team to be successful, you only care about whether person A trusts person B and not about whether person B trusts person A, because maybe there is no dependency there. Dependencies don't have to be reciprocal. If A depends on B, doesn't mean that B depends on A. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So the other thing is, you may want to look especially for cases in which a certain person is not trusted enough by many other people in the team. So let's say one of the things you're going to find out as you start looking and assessing the level of trust, you're going to find that person C is not trusted by pretty much everyone else on the team. Well, we have an issue here, and maybe that should help you prioritize person C. Okay, or the trustworthiness of person C. One good thing about this is that the odds are that changes in a person like this, or any person's trustworthiness, will likely affect other relationships. So if there is something that person C does that causes everybody to not trust them, or trust them less than they should or could, then maybe if you fix that thing, you will affect a lot of relationships in which person C has to be trusted. Maybe not all of them. Remember, the same behavior that would cause one person to trust you could cause another person to distrust you. Maybe not all of them. But if you see, if you find a person in the team that has low trustworthiness as viewed by all the others, and you can find that it all tracks to that one thing, maybe working on that one thing can improve trust with interest. Now, in order to change something, and we need to remember that, there has to be enough motivation, willingness, and capacity to change. So if you identified something that needs to change in one person, then you have to make sure that they're motivated enough, whether it's intrinsically or extrinsically, whether they're willing to change, and whether they have the capacity to change. Some things are very, very hard to change. They're too ingrained. Some things are easy to change, but we don't have the willingness. So as long as you have the motivation, the willingness, and the capacity to change, that's how you change things. Now, I talked about what happens, or I asked you to identify people who have low trustworthiness as viewed by multiple others, but I want you to look at the opposite as well, and that is cases where one person rates the trustworthiness of everybody else as very low or relatively low compared to how others rate the same person's, the same people's trustworthiness. Because again, since the level of trust that we have in another person is the product of our own trustfulness and their trustworthiness, maybe it's not so much an issue of their trustworthiness as it is an issue of that person's trustfulness and the way you want to work with this person is work on helping them be more trustful. Help them trust a little ahead of the other person's trustworthiness. Final thing is just know when to give up. You're not going to be able to fix everything. You're not going to be able to fix every relationship within a team. And if a certain relationship cannot be fixed and there is a high dependency there, you are going to have a dysfunctional team. If you let it go as is, keep that person in that team, you are making a conscious decision to sacrifice, to compromise the team's performance and you know, the team's joy, the team's fun in work, their creativity, their productivity. You sacrifice all of that because you're willing to accept that a relationship that has a high dependency has low trust. But if you cannot fix that trust because either there's not enough motivation, not enough willingness, or not enough capacity to change what causes that relationship to have low trust, frankly, you need to know when to give up and remove a person from a team. And that's a very hard decision to make, I know. But not making that decision is a decision to compromise and sacrifice team performance, creativity, fun, and everything else. So, in summary, I told you this is a relatively short, or shorter, I should say, episode. Trust is asymmetrical. It's not reciprocal in the way that if I trust you, you trust me. Forget the if I trust you, you will trust me or you must trust me. And forget if you trust me, I must trust you. I don't. My trust in you is the product of my trustfulness, your trustworthiness. Your trust in me is the product of your trustfulness, my trustworthiness. Those are four independent variables that don't depend in one another. You need to recognize that it's asymmetrical. You need to realize that between every two people, there are two independent trusting relationships. Yes, there is some symmetry, some reciprocity that is indirect, in that if I trust you, I behave in a certain way that could cause you to trust me. Or if you trust me, you will behave in a certain way that will eventually make me trust you. So there is some indirect reciprocity, some indirect symmetry, but it's not a direct one and it still depends on four independent variables. That's it for today. May trust be with you. This was The Trust Show. What would you like to know about trust and trustworthiness? Let me know and I'll answer it in a future episode. I would love to hear from you. Email me at yoram@thetrustshow.com. If you like this episode, subscribe to the show so you will automatically get notified when I release a new episode. Rate it. Write a review for this podcast because those ratings help not only you, but also others looking for podcasts just like this. If you're looking for more resources to learn about how to build trust, be trusted, or know who to trust, look up my workshops, online courses, books, or go to my website, trusthabits.com. And remember that the answer to these two questions will have the biggest impact on your personal and professional success or failure. Can I trust you? And can you trust me? Thank you for listening or watching The Trust Show.